You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition, and I have a quick announcement. I will not have a show Tuesday. I have a medical problem, and I have to get addressed, so there will be no show Tuesday. And for new listeners, we're on a summer schedule, and will not have a show Friday. So my next show will be Wednesday and Thursday of this week. Now, over the weekend, we learned of the suicide death of Jeffrey Epstein. He was in a jail in downtown Manhattan Correctional Center, and supposedly was on suicide watch, or should have been on suicide watch, because he did kill himself. Now, a lot of people already are spinning, if you will, conspiracy theory. Now, for those that know nothing about Jeffrey Epstein, he was a fairly wealthy person. There have been various estimates of his wealth. I did a little checking. It's probably in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And he owned property about a home in Manhattan. The FBI is saying it's worth $77 billion, and he had an island, Little John, in the Virgin Islands, that they did raid. The FBI did raid today. But the reason why he was in jail was the fact that over the years, he was involved in pedophilia, in the sense that he had people routinely, whether it was in Manhattan or wherever, he also had a home in Palm Springs, would provide him with young women, rather underage women. That's the key point here. And I'm talking 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, and invite him to the home for a massage that led to other things. And in Manhattan, New York City, Florida, and the Virgin Islands, that's a felony. But you got to prove it. That's the key point here. You have to prove it. And because of his money, he could get the best legal representation possible. And he did have political connection. He was friends, for example, with Bill Clinton. And he knew a lot of powerful people. So when you have that combination of money, a significant amount of money and property, that can lead to the fact that his activities were, until very recently, never really prosecuted. But this time, I think he knew that his luck ran out. There are a number of underage women that are now in their late 20s, 30s, that were providing evidence to the federal government, the FBI, Department of Justice. And this time, he probably wasn't going to be able to negotiate a deal with the prosecutor that would keep him out of prison. And that's why I think he committed suicide. Now, people are saying, well, there's something suspicious here, because the guards were supposed to, every 30 minutes, check his cell. Apparently, they didn't for hours. And yes, the Department of Justice, the FBI, are investigating all that. But this happens to be the story today on talk radio. I debated long and hard even to cover this. It's not a story I normally do cover. What I see is a person that had a very, very serious addiction problem, and because of the wealth he had, he could have had it addressed, but he didn't want to. He wanted to continue, and that's one of the problems. And the government knew that. He was on parole for over a year. So when this broke, you better believe the Attorney General of the United States was not happy. And the Attorney General, Bill Barr, gave a statement today that I want to play in its entirety.
I was appalled, and indeed the whole department was, and frankly, angry, to learn of the MCC's failure to adequately secure this prisoner. We are now learning of serious irregularities at this facility. We will get to the bottom of what happened, and there will be accountability. Any co-conspirators should not rest easy.
So the FBI is on the case, and the Department of Justice is on the case, but Jeffrey Epstein decided to end it Saturday morning. Can't prosecute a dead man. People that are most worried is the people that were involved in him, either enabling his activity or were receiving, as sort of a referral, some of the women that Epstein had already had his way with. So this is getting a lot of attention. Now, people are saying, well, it could have been a hit. Yeah, it could have been a hit. In prison, probably the lowest, in terms of status, the lowest status is pedophile. And you have the convicts try to kill him. So if he's in the general population, his life expectancy is not very high. Now remember, this was not a prison, it's a jail. He's waiting trial. And once again, the Department of Justice failed us. They're in charge of the Bureau of Prison. And before you blame the guards, an interesting statistic, and I don't know how valid it is, but I tracked it down, that about 70% of the, they only had about 70% of their manpower at this facility. In other words, they were short many, many men, and as a result, what happens? People were working double shifts, overtime, 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 and what happens when that occurs? People sleep or don't follow the procedures. And I think that's what we're going to ultimately find out, that one or more people that had the responsibility to check on them obviously did not, because if they had checked on them, they maybe could have stopped the suicide. Some of the people there said they heard some noise from that area. But all this is after the fact. It was interesting to listen to former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who is well familiar with this facility. Remember, he was prosecutor. He was the lead prosecutor for the Manhattan area and has prosecuted many organized crime cases, his office. And this is before he became mayor. So he was real surprised that this happened. See, I'm not surprised because think about it. Resources are scarce. What we're talking about here is, first of all, they needed to build a facility, and they did. It looks like a nice facility. As a matter of fact, I worked not too far from there in the municipal building. I think you can see part of that in the background. This facility wasn't there when I left New York City in August, September time frame of 1968. Now, I visited on several times over the years, but I haven't been back to New York City in a long time, so the city has changed. But I am familiar, at least was familiar with that area. You have the court buildings were there, federal buildings were there. It was a very busy place. So I think you have a situation here that they just didn't have a full staff. Now, I'm not excusing this, but it's somewhat of a thankless job. So there was a major failure. This shouldn't have happened. And you have a number of women now that are trying to pursue civil cases to get money from his estate. Over the years, when he was alive, he would settle a lot of, call it nuisance cases out of court just to keep it out of the papers. What he tended to do, for example, in Florida, in his home down there, people would recruit for him underage women, 14, 15, 16, 17. He would always pay them money, $200, $300. And the ones that he preferred, there was a history. It was repetition. Many of them, though, were one or two times at most. This gentleman was a sexual predator, for sure. Yet what's amazing is how few times over the years he was really investigated and arrested and prosecuted. When you have powerful friends and money, there's no justice for these women. The only people that may suffer are those that enabled Jeffrey Epstein activities, and we have some famous ones. You got to be very, very careful here because most of the ones that have been named absolutely deny it. That's why I say evidence is critical. And obviously, the Department of Justice was building a case. And I think Epstein realized that this was going to end in a conviction and a long, long long prison sentence, if not a lifetime prison sentence. And once that happened, his lifespan would be dramatically cut short because the prisoners would kill him, probably brutally. What surprises me is the focus on this one person. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. He was smart, a mathematician, knew how to play the piano, very personable, and worked with a number of people. But his crimes eventually caught up to him in the sense he knew his long run, his addiction, finally got the best of him. So he decided to end it on his terms, and he did early Saturday morning in Lower Manhattan. Now, what was interesting, and in a way surprising, and somewhat of a follow-up story, is the FBI raided Epstein's property, Little John Island in the Virgin Islands, commonly known as Pedophile Island. He had orgies, parties, however you want to describe them, down there with some fairly wealthy, politically connected people. So the FBI, what struck me as odd, they waited till he's dead. Why wasn't this done earlier? And what I'm leading up to, what I'm seeing, and we haven't seen any tapes, but apparently Epstein had cameras all over this island and his residence. So there was not very much that was not captured on video. So there are some famous people, as well as wealthy people, that to the extent they participated in Epstein's parties, orgies, whatever, especially with underage women, are holding their breath. So if the FBI actually discovered the whereabouts of all these videos, and if you think about it, I'd say the most logical place would be his island. He spent a lot of time there. When he wasn't there, he was either at his home in Florida and less so in his home in Manhattan. So he, in terms of his lifetime, was financially successful, but he became addicted. He was a sexual addict that had a proclivity for young women. And that ultimately is what should have brought him to the bar of justice many, many years prior to this. So we'll wait and see what did the FBI actually get. There was about a dozen agents pulled up in boats and we're searching the island, primarily his home, but he owns the whole island except for the shore area. And it'll probably be years, if ever, that we learn of what the FBI found. But keep in mind, if you're going to prosecute this person or other people connected with him, you got to have the evidence. Now, some of you will say that's not stop prosecutors. Well, true. But when you're dealing with very powerful people in the government, as well as financially well off, they're going to have their attorneys. And what any U.S. attorney has to think about is, can I prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury of this person's peers the case they're trying to make? Because I can already see where the person, let's say the person did have sex with one of these underage women, probably say, I thought she was 18 or older, or she wouldn't have been on the island. Now, initially, they're going to deny it, so they're going to have to produce the videos and disclose the videos, and they're not going to help the prosecution at all. And to the extent this was a ring, in other words, this was a business that Epstein provided women to some very powerful people, not only in the United States, Great Britain, and elsewhere, how are you going to convict his accomplices? Now, some of them, most likely, have already been given immunity. But now that Epstein is dead by his own hand, and see, I think that's exactly what happened. Now, people are saying, well, it was convenient that the camera that was covering the entry to his cell wasn't working. The guards had not checked on him for hours. And the suspicion is, well, if someone was going to hire a contract killer to kill him, first of all, you'd have to get in the jail. I'm not saying it can't be done. And make it look like a suicide. And that happens. It's not as impossible as you might think if money is no object. So, yes, there's going to be a lot of conspiracy theories. I just say good riddance and ask both the Department of Justice and the local district attorneys, why didn't you pursue this? There was a lot of smoke here is what I'm trying to say. Now, the typical answer is, well, he has to commit a crime. And if he commits a crime, you got to have the evidence. And that's all true. Now, this will be a relatively short show. What's definitely in the news, and it's been in the news for 10 weeks, and this is a by far more important story. They have been protesters in Hong Kong protesting the extradition laws proposed in Hong Kong, where you could be extradited to communist China to stand trial, for example, for murder. And that was... And I did a show on it. A couple went to Taiwan, a young couple, and only the man came back. And then it was discovered that the woman he went with was murdered. And what they wanted to do is extradite the killer to communist China to stand trial. That is the reason you're seeing these protests. The Hong Kong citizens do not want to be extradited for any crimes to communist China. They have their own court system, and there's no reason why Hong Kong cannot prosecute people that violate their laws. But, and this is the big but, and you'll hear the phrase, it's one country, two systems. The one country is the People's Republic of Communist China, the communist Chinese. The two systems are the communist Chinese system in mainland China and Hong Kong system. The people of Hong Kong, the citizens of Hong Kong, do not want communist China to interfere in their affairs to this extent. Make sure you understand this. Hong Kong is part of communist China. And communist China has the People's Liberation Army stationed. And they do not like, communist China definitely does not like other nations telling them what to do in what they consider their internal affairs. They are what I call control freak. They're a very authoritarian, totalitarian regime. They don't really brook any dissent, and they do not like protests and will crush them. And what are they doing right now? They're massing troops along the borders with Hong Kong. So the question is, will the People's Liberation Army invade Hong Kong and supposedly restore order and stability? And then what will be the reaction of the citizens of Hong Kong? Remember, mainland China, they speak Mandarin Chinese. In Hong Kong, they speak Cantonese. So there is a language difference. But there's also the history. Remember, this was a colony, was ruled by the British Empire until about a little over 20 years ago. And then the question is, what, if anything, should the U.S. do about that? In my opinion, it's nothing other than verbal support for the citizens of Hong Kong. And I think it would be a mistake for us to try to interfere in this situation. And I think communist China would be making a big mistake if they send their troops in. This has been going on for 10 weeks, mainly in the streets of in various areas of Hong Kong. What's different now is these protests are at the airport there, a modern airport, and most of the people, not all the people coming to that airport, are coming from mainland China. But it's around the world. For today, and looks like for tomorrow as well, outbound flights have been canceled. Now, flights going into the airport can land, but you're going to get people stranded. They're on an international flight. Hong Kong would be a connection point, and then they want to go someplace else, like back to the United States, Japan, South Korea, wherever. And because of the clashes between the Hong Kong police and the citizens of Hong Kong, and it has turned significantly more violent, and they're using a lot more tear gas. So this is a story that's going to continue and continue and continue until and even after, should the communist Chinese intervene. I think their patience is being tried, and that's when they tend to make mistakes. And they tend to, the phrase, it's a repeat of Tiananmen Square. And that's what I'm afraid it could lead to. And I think it would do severe damage to Hong Kong, but even more damage to the communist Chinese. So they can continue to mass troops and show drills and provide propaganda. But should they invade Hong Kong under the pretext of bringing order and stability back to the city, I think it's just going to escalate and it'll be a lot more violent. You see, right now it's between the Hong Kong police and Hong Kong citizen protest. But if the People's Liberation Army, the army, comes in, they're not citizens of Hong Kong. They're Chinese, led by communist Chinese. And I think that could easily get out of hand. What should the United States do? Well, I would support the citizens of Hong Kong, but make very, very clear that we're not going to intervene in their internal affairs. And that's exactly what the communist Chinese want to hear. It is their internal affairs, but you got this unique relationship of one country, two systems, and that's actually the situation where communist China, I would call it a mixed system, dominated by the state. It's state capitalism would be probably a succinct description of it. And Hong Kong is primarily, I think, a capitalist system, other than the fact that it's very much influenced what's going on in communist China. What the communist Chinese party want, they're going to get in Hong Kong. In my mind, it's probably a week or two, maybe longer, that if these protests are not brought under control, whatever that means, don't be surprised. You'll wake up, turn on the radio, and learn that overnight, the communist Chinese are now spread out in strategic points all over Hong Kong. And it's one of these decisions, once you make it, you're not going to be able to unwind it. Who's going to win? Obviously, the People's Liberation Army are going to win. They'll come in with tanks, armored personnel carriers. It's going to be, in my mind, a very, very heavy-handed situation. And I don't think that the citizens of Hong Kong can expect much help from nations around the world. So I wish them luck, and I understand what they want, but the Communist Party in the past has led on students, young people, and then crushed them. They don't listen very well. And I've said before, I think it's just a matter of time before the Communist Party in China is going to fall. I'm not making any predictions, but it's a very closed system that does not brook any interference, and they rule with a powerful hand, iron hand. Repression is the word that I would call it. And that will, I think, potentially have an impact on negotiations between the United States and Communist China in regard to its trade agreement. Remember, these big box stores, retail stores, many of which have a large percentage of their goods are from Communist China, although I believe that's changing. We're coming upon the Christmas season, and that means toys, television sets, electronic equipment, gadgets. And the question is Donald Trump going to impose tariffs on those goods? Up to now, he's trying to make the case that the communist Chinese have been paying, not 100%, but a lot of the tariffs. Now, to the extent those goods are produced where? In state-run companies that are subsidized, together with the fact you have the communist Chinese, their central bank is printing money. And that has the effect of devaluing the yuan. And what that means for U.S. citizens or Europeans is when you buy goods from them, they're cheaper. And President Trump makes a lot of that. It's just recently that the United States government declared China to be a currency manipulator. And they are. They have been. Because it enables them to be more competitive by undervaluing their currency, which means U.S. dollars, for example, can purchase a lot more of their goods. But not all of the goods produced in China are produced by state-owned companies. And even with the devaluation, a tariff will be paid by who? U.S. citizens. Tariffs are always paid by the citizens of the country that's imposing the tariffs. American people are overtaxed. We need to fundamentally reform our tax system. And by that, I mean go to a broad-based consumption tax, along the lines of a fair tax. But tariffs, at one time, were the source of revenue for the U.S. federal government. Not anymore. Not with the advent of the personal income tax initially passed in 1914. And then the percentage of federal revenues coming from tariffs went down, down, and down. But keep in mind, when you hear the word tariff, it's a tax, and it's a tax on the people that buy the goods that have the tariffs imposed on them. And it's consumer electronics, gadgets, you know, smartphones, television sets. Why do people buy for Christmas presents these types of big-ticket items? So it remains to be seen what goods that Americans buy, especially over the Christmas season, will, if they come from China, have tariffs on them. I think it's a significant percentage. We haven't heard yet from what Trump is going to do about it. I think he's finally seeing And why I think Trump is concerned about this, if the U.S. economy should go into a recession for whatever reason, that would give the Democrats a golden opportunity to maybe defeat him in 2020. As long as the economy is growing, note I didn't say booming, growing, at its average rate of 3 and 3.5%, I think it's going to be very difficult, note I didn't say impossible, for the Democrats to beat Trump. But, and there's that big but, if the economy goes into recession, in other words, it's not growing, it's negative for whatever reason, and the reason I think it could go into recession is a failure to finalize a trade agreement with Communist China. Keep in mind, Europe, as well as Communist China, are either in a recession or on the verge of being into a recession. In other words, they have negative rates of economic growth. Upcoming weeks, remember, Trump said he wasn't going to impose that another tariff on a lot of Chinese communist goods until sometime in September. So it takes two parties, the United States and Communist China, to agree to a mutually acceptable trade agreement. And even when you have the agreement, the key provision is how can you enforce it? So we need to wait and see what Donald Trump and his trade negotiating team finally come up with. And that will have an impact on the stock market, both favorably or unfavorably, because a lot of the people that are invested in stocks are very, very concerned that the United States economy could go into recession if a trade agreement is not finalized really between now and the next election. And Trump has indicated he was suspicious that maybe the Communist Chinese are just trying to wait him out, stall it, and hope for a better deal with the Democratic Party. I think that would be a mistake on their part, but I can, from their point of view, I can see where they would do that, thinking that the Democrats are easier on this, which may or may not be the case, because the Communist Chinese use bribery to corrupt officials, not only in their own countries, but abroad. And depending on how the debates go, I think you're going to see more visibility into the corruption of Joe Biden and his family. For that and other reasons, I don't think Joe Biden is going to be the nominee of the Democratic Party for president of the United States. So then the question is, who has the best chance? Joe Biden, in my mind, is a liberal Democrat that's trying to appeal to a much younger generation, actually several generations, and more or less agree with most, not all, of the, call them initiatives, plans, of the radical extremist Democrat socialists. And in my mind, that's why I call them the failed Final Four. And that is Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Senator from Massachusetts, Bernie Sanders, Senator from Vermont, and Kamala Harris, Senator from California, are all supporting Medicare for All. That is a serious mistake. That will not, if you come out for that clearly, you won't get elected. Because you have two large constituents. One, those that get their health care coverage through their employer. And the estimates I've seen range from 160 million to 180 million. And then you have those on Medicare that know Medicare is in financial trouble. And if you try to expand it, it's going to make it worse. You add those two groups, you're talking ballpark maybe 230 million American voters that are not going to, that are not going to support Medicare for All. To the extent that the Democratic Party makes this part of its platform agenda, they're committing political suicide, and I say, be my guest. Don't let me stop you. If you can't figure out that the American people don't support this, well, you don't deserve to be president. And I have a newsflash, you're not going to be president. You'll be the failed Final Four. And I think it's amongst those four people. Now, unless a surprise candidate comes out of the woodwork, and keep in mind, it would have to be someone that's very well known and rescues the day, I see Donald Trump winning in 2020. What could ruin his chances if the economy, we have 15 months, goes into recession? A recession is defined by economists, the short definition, is two consecutive quarters of negative growth in real gross domestic product, finished goods of the United States. See, I don't see that happening in 2019. Could it happen in 2020? Yes, especially if especially if the trade deal with Communist China is going nowhere. But I don't think that necessarily puts the United States into a recession. I just got the signal. I got to close out the show. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.